Funding for WPLN News comes from you, our listeners, and Bernstein Private Wealth, working with creators and innovators to invest with intention and build the legacy they want to leave behind. More at Bernstein.com.
I'm Khalil A. Colonna, and this is Nashville. What's the longest relationship you've been in? That's a question you'll find on dating apps, or it may have been asked by a matchmaker or a really nosy relative. For most of us, the answer varies from a year to a decade, maybe a little bit more. But I don't know about you. I am fascinated by the couples who've spent multiple decades together. These are couples who have grown together, and despite the changes that come with life, their bond is as strong as ever. Let's take Beth and Tommy Womack, for instance. They met at a college fraternity party, but they didn't start dating for 2 years. Beth was a morning and afternoon anchor at Channel 5 News for many years and now works for Nashville Metro Public Schools. And Tommy is a musician and author known, among other things, for being one of the founding members of the band Government Cheese. They have been together, as they tell us, for 39 and a half years and married for 31 of those years. And we're really grateful to have them here with us today. Beth and Tommy Womack, welcome to This is Nashville. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I can't complain.
I hear that. So let's go back to the very, very beginning. Tell me about the first time you saw each other. What did you notice about the other, Beth?
The first time we ever saw each other, I suppose, was at a fraternity party, and I was a party goer, and he was a guy in the band.
Okay. What were you playing?
We were playing covers, and I think I was playing bass that night. I don't remember.
How did you two start to become an item? What happened next?
I don't think we even really talked that night. That's just, I think, the first time we may have said hi or gotten introduced or something, and
The first time I noticed her was in that basement, and her eyes. Her eyes and her dimples.
What was it about her eyes and dimples that captivated you?
They were cute. Well, the eyes were a little smoldery on top of being cute, and her face is just, I mean, think of Betty White back when she was a fox.
Okay. That got you there. So what'd you do next?
Well, I learned everything I know about relationships from her, but I obviously hadn't been taught those relationship skills when I met her, you know, and it took a couple of years before I kind of realized I want to date this person. I want to see what's going on there. On a serious level, you know, that 2 years after the frat house basement.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Beth. Were you waiting for him? Was he a sparkle in your eye, too? Were you asking yourself, when is this guy ever going to ask me out?
No, because I was kind of flying blind, too. I went to these parties because my girlfriends were going to these parties, and I didn't want to sit in a dorm room alone, you know, and they were fun. I never dated a whole lot. I was really shy, so I was not going to come out and do that. But I noticed him, and he was obviously a smart guy. And I found out he was a mass communication major like I was. He was a year ahead of me, so we didn't have classes together or anything like that. But we'd run into each other in the department hall, you know, say hi. But and that's actually when we finally got together. It was there. We were talking out in the hallway, and we got accosted by this professor who was on a rant about something, and we're just standing there kind of looking around going, how are we going to get away from this guy? And he turned around to say something to somebody else, and he just grabbed my hand, and we ran down the hall.
Okay.
He just ran because we needed to get away from this guy.
We ran across town. We ran all the way to the Lover's Lane Apartments, aptly named.
That's the name of the apartments that Lovers, I lived in. It was Lover's Lane Apartments.
That's so on the nose. I love it.
And we had some friends over there.
It was a Friday.
Some friends had what they called the Friday Afternoon Club. So we just all get together on Friday afternoons and drink rum and hang out, and we ended up there.
Okay. So several years you lived together, but I also understand along the way, Tommy, you proposed a few times.
Yeah. I lose count. I'm not sure how many times it was. The first night we were laying in bed, we'd been together maybe 3 or 4 or 5 months. And I'm just, you got to know, I have this problem. I have no filter. Okay. I was laying in bed next to her, and I was staring at the ceiling. The lights were out, and I thought, I was kind of wondering if maybe, not now, but somewhere down the road, if you'd mind marrying me. And that was my idea of a proposal.
Okay.
Around 11:30 at night in a dark bedroom at Lover's Lane apartment.
And so, Beth, I imagine you said no.
It kind of shocked me. So I just said, well, that's a pretty big step. And he took this deep breath and said, phew. I'm so glad to hear you say that. You know, no way was I committing to anything like that yet.
How many times did you propose, Tommy?
I didn't have to after the first year. Okay. After the first year, things were solidified and we knew it was for good.
We moved to Nashville early in the spring of 92. You know, we still hadn't made any definite marriage plans. We were officially engaged by that point, you know, had a ring, talked to dad and mom, mm-hmm. and all of that. Mm-hmm. But it just fell into place. You know, we just decided. We didn't have this year-long go-crazy wedding plans. Yeah. I think we decided in September, okay, let's do this. Let's just get this done. Not like, let's just get this over with, but let's just do it. We know we're going to. We know we want to. Mm-hmm. And so we decided that, I think, in September, and we got married in December. We did not have a spectacle.
Okay.
We just had a nice...
She looked hot. It was a spectacle seeing her come down the aisle.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a lovely wedding, but it wasn't a huge wedding.
Would you describe yourselves more as birds of a feather or opposites attract?
Oh, opposites.
Totally opposite.
Total yin and yang.
Yeah?
Total.
In what ways?
When the sink needs unstopping, that's her gig.
Okay.
You know, I'm kind of the wild artistic type. And she's very level-headed and can figure things out that I can't slow my mind down long enough to figure out for myself. You want a song written, I'm your guy, but if you want something more down-to-earth than that, then you call her.
Mm-hmm. Also, he's an open book, like he said. He doesn't have much of a filter. And I'm a lot more private.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see how you all feel about this concept of people are saying they want their partner to be their best friend. And I've heard differing opinions on this from people who've been together for quite some time. Some say it's a good thing, and others say it puts too much pressure on the partner to be the best friend for folks. How do you all feel about that?
It's not a friend. Your wife or your husband is not your friend. It's deeper than that. I don't know if there's another word for it. Mm. But, that's what I think anyway. It's a different kind of relationship than any other kind you can have, you know. And, yes, you're friends, ideally. Of course, you know, if you're going to survive, you got to be friends. But this best friend, sometimes you don't want to talk to your wife and dump on her about stuff that's bothering you. Go to a friend for that, you know, until it becomes relevant or until it really needs to be.
No, I kind of agree with that. I mean, if that's your thing, great. That's all right. You know, I married my best friend. That's very sweet. Mm-hmm. And very true for a lot of people. And yeah, we're friends. We like each other. We like each other a lot. We're still married after 31 years.
Yeah.
But he's got friends. I've got friends. Sometimes our friends are also friends. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, not actually. but yeah, I don't think that you need to put all your eggs in that basket.
Yeah, I understand. If you're just tuning in, this is Nashville, and I'm your host, Khalil Ekolona. We're talking this hour about long-term love and relationships. My guests are Beth and Tommy Womack. Now, how do you all approach working through any difficulties or conflicts you may have had in your relationship?
Well, every now and then, if you know, need be, I can try honesty.
Okay. It's a novel concept.
Yeah. Being honest with each other and, like we said, keeping the lines of communication open and just acting like we care for the other one. We're big huggers. We like to hug a lot. Mm-hmm. We like to make each other laugh. You know, you want to be somebody that you would like to spend your life with. It, you know, not every day is a convivial act of wonderful relationship all the time, you know, that, but it's important to have those moments when you're just affectionate. And
we're both very stubborn, but we're also both very polite.
Okay. That's an interesting combination.
You know, it is. But, you know, we'll yell at each other every once in a while. It happens. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had our moments where there's been some screaming involved, but for the most part,
not a lot of screaming,
but you know,
passion behind the words.
Yeah, there you go.
Of course,
passion behind the words.
Yeah, you're going to have that if you stay together for 39 years. There's going to be moments where you're not seeing eye to eye, and sometimes moments in, you know, given our yin and yang, you're going to have moments when you totally don't see eye and eye, and then you got to
give and take.
You don't argue till you win. You argue till what's right reveals itself.
That's interesting. When I was a young man, first time I ever stepped foot in a Trader Joe's in Los Angeles, I ran into a couple. They had been together for 55 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And they were all over each other like they were in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of amazed, and so were some other people. And we asked, what was their secret? And they said three things. They said, you have to make each other laugh. Never go to bed angry. And the romantic intimacy must be amazing. You know, they said, all three of those things help each other out if you can do that in combination. Mm-hmm. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah. It does.
That's a good pie chart.
And I think a lot of people freak out when the romance decreases because it's gonna. Mm. You know, you're not going to have that fire you did the first few years you're together. And part of that is just falling into a more and more comfortable relationship with each other. I think we're a lot more comfortable with each other than we were years ago.
That's something that's grown every year we've been together, as it logically should be, I suppose. We are very comfortable around each other. And we're so comfortable we can take a drive together and not talk for an hour. That's how comfortable with it, you know.
Yeah.
And you're not always worried about having to impress the other person because you know each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And truly accepted for who you are. How do you feel most loved from the other?
I feel it all day long. It's always a steady stream of love. You got to kind of keep that up like a water fountain, you know. You don't withhold love until you get what you want. The love is the river running through you, and it's your backbone at the same time.
I go to work at 7 in the morning, so I get up very early. He does not have to get up very early, but he likes to get up early and sit and drink coffee with me in the morning.
Yeah, that's precious time in the day.
That shows love to me. He doesn't have to. He could stay in bed. And sometimes does. This doesn't happen every morning, but he always does like to get up and have a cup of coffee with me before I go to work in the morning.
Tommy?
I feel most loved from my wife when she walks in the door from work or a weekend trip or whatever. And she's so glad to see me, and I'm glad to see her. And that's always a nice moment. Yeah, reciprocate. When she's sweet to me in some way, it makes me want to reciprocate. Mm-hmm. Sweet back.
Mm-hmm. Keep the sweet going all around.
I'm very sweet.
keep extra bag fulls of love around the house so you can grab one whenever you need it.
All right. I want to thank you both for being with us today. Beth and Tommy Womack have been together for nearly 40 years. Thank you again for being here, and thank you for sharing this wisdom. Really appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah. Good to meet you, man.
Good to meet you both as well. We've got to take a short break. When we come back, we'll drop in on a special bonded pair to hear about their unique love story. Stay with us. This is Nashville.
Well, I think one of the best things about This Is Nashville is the cross-section of all the different topics it reports on for the community. I mean, the in-depth reporting of things like food, and then you have a brilliant episode about the Tennessee Three and the complex state politics that we all deal with. I just appreciate how it's dynamic. It's not just one thing. It's really a little bit of everything that's going on here in Nashville. I'm Evan from Nashville, and I support WPLN.
Thank you, Evan. I'm Mariana Baca-Yao here in the studio with Rachel Iacovone on the first day of our spring fun drive. You know why This Is Nashville is able to cover every aspect of living in the city? Because our producers, our reporters, our hosts live right here. And we know what the daily grind is like in Music City. That's how we're able to bring you reports that really get at what it means to be a Middle Tennessean. You can support this coverage for your community, by your community, online at WPLN.org. Or you want to talk to a human, give us a call, 615-760-2010.
Like Mariana said, this is day one of our spring drive. Our goal this time is for 1,000 of you to give this week. It can be your first time donating or your 1,000th time donating. We'll count you either way, but you have to give this week. So why not get it done on the first day? Go to WPLN.org, press the Give Now button, and it'll take you less than 2 minutes start to finish. Calling us is always an option as well. The number is 615-760-2010. When you give, make sure to leave us a comment. We love to read those. We also love to see where you're from. And we, so far this hour, have been seeing from Hendersonville, Franklin, and Nashville. Join in there. Get your city on our little map when you give at WPLN.org.
And we've got a very special thank you gift for fans of This Is Nashville this fun drive. If you give at the $25 a month level, you could be one of a select few to have lunch with Khalil Ekulona. You hear him turn around the mic and ask questions of our community, but now's your chance to ask him whatever you're curious about. This luncheon includes seeing the behind the scenes of a making of an episode of This Is Nashville. It's an incredible process. As somebody who has filled in different capacities on the show, it's always a wild thing to watch it happen in progress. You can put faces to the voices that you hear when you give online, WPLN.org.
One of the most common questions I get is, is Khalil actually like that in real life? The answer is yes. So spoiler alert here. But, you know, hearing that is one thing as much as experiencing it. For us, we met him before the show began, so we got a sense of who Khalil was. And then hearing him first open the mic, both of us as former hosts here, I don't think I necessarily sound 100% the way that I do in real life as I do on air. And he really does. Khalil is just as warm and inviting and engaging of a conversationalist out in the hallway as he is on mic. But you will be able to experience that only if you get now $25 a month online. You got to get your name in there at WPLN.org. When you give $25 a month, or you can give us a call, 615-760-2010 is the number. And like I said, when you give, we love to see these comments from you. We most recently got a comment from Oscar who said, thank you for all you do. Thank you, Oscar, for giving. Oscar did not choose a thank you gift, but I would encourage you to maybe consider another This Is Nashville thank you gift. If $25 a month is maybe a little outside of your budget, what about $10 a month? At $10 a month, you can get this packable This Is Nashville tote. On the front, it's got the speech bubbles like you're used to from the This Is Nashville logo, but it instead says what Khalil always does at the end of the show: be good to each other. And I think that's such a wonderful message, to be carrying a tote. Maybe when you're out grocery shopping or you're at a picnic, you are bringing it to work. Be good to each other in the community. You can get your hands on that when you give $10 a month at WPLN.org. You can give now or give us a call. 615-760-2010 is the number.
You can be good to each other. Also, be good to us.
Very true.
We are your local public radio station. A lot of these conversations that you hear on This Is Nashville, the start of the show happened because you, the listener, wanted a daily show all about life here in Nashville. And here it is. It runs with your support. It only continues with your support. So get in the comments. Go online, WPLN.org. Tell us how we're doing. Give a gift. Keep this community service around for generations to come. You do that online, WPLN.org. Or give us a call. Talk to a real person who can talk you through the process at 615-760-2010. And thank you.
I'm Magnolia McKay, and this is Nashville. Today, we're talking about love and commitment, specifically the love between long-term romantic partners. The way that lovers meet, get to know one another, and establish a commitment are as numerous as there are relationships. But what they all have in common is that consideration for each other and being able to count on one another. Our next couple is a prime example of that kind of care, though they are a little different than the others in this hour. So, step out of the studio with me as we hear their story. My search for a pair of lovers has brought me to the Catio, a cat cafe and adoption center in the strip mall out by Opry Mills.
I think I'll talk to Abby.
Oh, yeah.
First, I meet Abby Overton, a former employee who worked at the Catio for 2 years. We sit down on a couch in their senior cat center. We're surrounded by sleepy older cats, and she tells me about a couple of feline sweethearts.
We have a pair named Dolly and Myers. They're both two.
Dolly is a small tabby who, judging by her size, was likely a teen mother in her previous life as a stray. She's shy with humans, but is friendly and even flirty with other cats.
She does like to play, like when it's super quiet at the Catio, she'll play. Myers is more of like the dark and brooding kind of guy. He's all tough, like he's a big boy.
Myers is a big black cat with orange eyes. Abby calls special attention to his eyes. Myers' personality is more of a protector and provider.
He's more of like the guard. They both were strays beforehand, and they both were super, super shy. So they would hide, and they finally started hiding together, like curled up together.
Abby tells me Dolly and Myers are what's called a bonded pair. This means they're attached to each other in a way where it would be unhealthy to separate them. Bonded pairs are typically siblings. It's unusual for cats who aren't related, like Dolly and Myers, to become bonded. However, they both came from another rescue location in separate carriers, with no indication that they were bonded at the time. Abby says it's important to determine if a pair of cats is bonded, because if they are, they need to be adopted together. Otherwise, the separation causes stress for the cats, like we experience when we're apart from our loved ones.
If they are staying together for a long period of time, if they're not showing like any other interest in the other cats, usually means that they're bonded because they only want each other.
Abby says that Dolly does like other cats, but she gets a unique comfort from Myers and him from her. So when the folks at the Catio noticed they were purposefully seeking each other out, it became pretty obvious that Dolly and Myers were a couple.
In the 2 years I've worked here, I've seen a lot of bonded pairs. Never seen them make biscuits on each other, which made me laugh.
Making biscuits refers to when cats make a kneading motion with their front paws. Abby tells me that Dolly and Myers are constantly showing each other affection.
Whether that be bathing each other, staying together when they're playing, eating together, or watching each other's backs.
She sees them being protective of each other too. Myers will keep an eye on Dolly from across the room, and vice versa.
I'm gonna watch my wife, that's what we call them, a married couple. I'm gonna watch my wife eat, make sure nobody messes with her, and then she'll come back to me. But we also have, there's lover's tips that we call them. We always say that Dolly kicks him out of the bed.
Well, should we go meet them?
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go meet them.
We walk from the senior cat center to the main catio room next door.
Where are you? Where are you, goons?
We find Myers curled up under a little futon couch.
There's Myers.
Hey, buddy.
You can see he's getting bigger.
I see his orange eyes.
His eyes are very pretty. He's under there.
But Dolly is nowhere to be found.
She's being sneaky.
She was yesterday, too. It was really funny.
Abby gets her catio co-workers to help us search.
Is that Dolly? Did I just miss her? No, you're Princess. Dear Lord, we have so many cats. I'm like...
We spend a good 6 minutes looking in wooden cubbies and cat trees.
You know what? She's probably in a tunnel.
In little tents and under couches.
Oh, hello!
Is that her?
I think I found her.
Oh, she's cheating.
With another black cat.
Uh-oh. Dolly, that's not your boyfriend.
Who is it?
Oh, she left.
Dolly is curled up in a gray felt-looking donut thing with another cat, securing her reputation as a flirt. But we startle her, and she runs, you guessed it, to find Myers underneath the futon. Luckily, he's saved her some treats.
Oh, she's eating his treats. That's kind of rude, Dolly. You're just stealing all of your boyfriend's stuff? But you see how he's guarding her a little bit? Like, from away from, you know, the people?
Well, and it is like you said, like, they find comfort from each other. Like, she felt nervous, and she was like, where is
he? She runs immediately to him.
Abby says it's harder to get bonded pairs adopted because not everybody wants multiple cats. But these two won't be separated. And she's excited for the future they'll have together when they come out of their shell in their forever home. As of right now, Dolly and Myers are still at the catio and still very much in love. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear the love story of one of our very own here in the WPLN family. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a special hour of This Is Nashville, all about long-term love, much like your love for WPLN. Hi, I'm Rachel Iacovone in studio with Mariana Bacayao. And during Fund Drive, we get a lot of comments from you all about how you've been listening since we were in the library, how you were a backseat listener growing up in Middle Tennessee, and how you may have a backseat listener or two of your own now. That's the nice part about this drive. We're trying something new. Our goal is a pretty simple one. We are asking for 1,000 of you to give. That means you can give guilt-free for the first time in decades or for the 1,000th time. Either way, we so appreciate you publicly declaring your love for WPLN. It's mutual, if that wasn't clear. Give now at WPLN.org and make sure to leave us a little note about why you're giving. Give us a call and you can talk to a person at 615-760-2010.
See, here at WPLN, our love language for you is acts of service. We're here on the radio acting for you, reporting on the ground for you. The love language of how we want to receive love is maybe monetary in some ways, but it is also words of affirmation, like
gift
Rachel
giving,
said.
Perhaps.
We want a little comment, you know, are you listening? Do you like what you hear? We've heard from some commuted human couples and a Casanova cat this hour on This Is Nashville. It's time for you to make your commitment to your favorite public radio station. You don't need to put a ring on it, but you should ring us at 615-760-2010, and we can walk you through the giving process. You can also go online to WPLN.org, click on the big heart that says Give Now, and send us a little bit of that love.
We have gotten some love from Oscar in Nashville, Thomas in Franklin, Carrie in Hendersonville, Connor in Murfreesboro, and Sarah in Nashville. Thank you all for giving in the last hour. And some of them have left wonderful comments thanking us for what we do. Also, I've noticed a trend of quite a few people getting the tote today, maybe because Mariana and I are such big fans and keep mentioning it, because it is definitely spring weather and this is the perfect packable tote. For $10 a month, you can get the This Is Nashville tote that on the front has the speech bubble you might be used to from the This Is Nashville logo, but instead of This Is Nashville, it says be good to each other, which is what you are used to hearing Khalil end each show on. It is a wonderful message to be carrying out in the community, whether you're at the grocery store or again, picnicking. Come on, I'm thinking right now of how I'm going to take this to Love Circle packed with my Trader Joe's snacks. So get in on that for $10 a month when you give at WPLN.org. Go to the website, you click the Give Now button. It'll take you 2 minutes, less than we've been talking to you just now.
And WPLN's relationship with the larger Middle Tennessee community, you know, the name of the show is This Is Nashville, but we're not just reporting on Nashville. It's the whole surrounding region. This relationship is maybe sometimes long distance because our reporters are getting in their car and driving directly to your communities to report on what's going on. And we're hearing from people in Hendersonville, in Franklin, in Arrington, and it just feels so great to have that sort of conversation going with like the whole of Middle Tennessee. Keep that conversation going. Keep us on the air when you give at WPLN.org.
You may also be able to see some of that conversation with Greater Tennessee happening when you go to the This Is Nashville Superfan Lunch. This is for you and a guest who will watch a live production and broadcast of This Is Nashville in Nashville Public Radio studios, followed by a lunch with Khalil Ekolona. There's a limited quantity available for this. It's a lunch for kind of the insiders. This is $25 a month, perhaps pretty affordable for some of you out there. So $25 a month and you can see the show being birthed. You can see all the chaos that happens every day behind the scenes. You would never know on air because they sound so seamless. But it's a show with so many moving parts. You've got to create a show with three full segments every day, live on air. And we've got producers out in the community and not just in the building. So all of that happening while you get to watch and then have a calm and cool collected lunch with Khalil afterward. You can be part of that when you give $25 a month at WPLN.org.
It's quick. It's easy. Give now, WPLN.org. You can give us a call, 615-760-2010. We're hearing now from Sally in Nashville. She says, I support Nashville Public Radio because I believe in the mission of Nashville Public Radio and greatly value my 30 plus years of listening to news and podcasts. Talk about a long-term commitment. Talk about a long love. If you've been listening for that long or if this is your first time, if you've been listening for a little bit, if you're new to Nashville, if you're a native, support the station with all of the good stuff that you get here, all of the drive times that we entertained you or educated you or kept you apprised of what's going on in your very own community. WPLN News and This Is Nashville is all about engaging you with the community, keeping you informed and up to date with newscasts and information. Give now, WPLN.org.
I'm Khalil Ekolona, and this is Nashville. We're discussing love and relationships today. We're seeking to discover what it means to be with someone for multiple decades, while my next guests have been dancing together for over 30 years. Cameron Atkins and Teresa Birdsong have known each other for nearly 40 years and have been married for 34. Now, some inside knowledge here. Cameron is a very loved member of the WPLN family. He's our chief engineer, which means he makes sure that our shows get and stay on the air. We are all super, super grateful for him, particularly me. Now, Teresa works in advertising for local publications like the Nashville Scene and the Nashville Post. Radio and media have been a part of both Cameron and Teresa's lives for many years. In fact, Cameron and Teresa met when they were both working at a radio station. The rest, as they say, is history. We're looking forward to hearing and sharing more of their story about their own love over their airwaves. Cameron and Teresa, thank you both for being here. Welcome to This Is Nashville.
Thank you.
Hi there.
Hey.
Again, I saw you earlier today, by the way.
We did see each other earlier. This is great. All right, so you both were working at a radio station when you met. Can we say that you all, what were you? Were you passing acquaintances and then one day you just realized that you were meant to be get together? What happened?
How do you want to put this, dear?
I think we were passing acquaintances.
She was working on the air. I was coming up there occasionally to help the engineer who was also the owner of the station. So we chatted along the way while she was on the air and played records. And, you know, we eventually had pizza or something.
You know, station events, we'd see each other, yeah. Things like that. But I had moved to the area and had somewhere along the way messed up my stereo system.
Okay.
Now, being in music and being a very big into listening to music, it was a big deal that my stereo system wasn't working correctly. So I got the courage up to say, hey, would you mind come over and take a look at this and figure out why my JCPenney stereo system is not working? And he said, that's your first problem. No, anyway.
Okay, now, time out. You said you had to get the courage up. Were you nervous? What were you nervous about asking him?
Just asking a favor of someone that I really didn't know that well, but I knew he had the skills to fix it, and he was very kind of fun and outgoing, so I knew that he would probably be open to the idea. He came over and fixed it.
Yeah, and it just occurred to me, you know, I really like her. I guess I gave you a kiss that first time, didn't I?
Probably.
Yeah. I kind of like looked at you and said, you know, I really, really do like you a lot. And I think I just did it.
What did you like about her?
Oh, gosh. Right off the bat, just she was outgoing, unafraid, you know, basically happy most of the time, always smiling. Always talkative. I've generally, most of my life, been a bit of more of an introvert. She's quite an extrovert, and that's how we compliment each other a lot, I think. She'll talk when I won't, and then eventually I'll talk.
But. Okay. Well, Teresa, what stood out about Cameron to you?
He was kind of fun. He didn't take things too seriously. He just was a fun person to get to know a little bit better.
When did you make it official that you two were dating?
We stayed in touch. She got a job here in Nashville at another station. She moved from Clarksville to Nashville. We kind of stayed acquainted. Eventually, when I was done with work in Russellville, quite often I would start coming back to Nashville instead of going home, which was in Clarksville still at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was such a long drive a lot of times that I said, I want you to stay the night, you know. And it kind of became kind of more often to do that than any other thing. So that's how it got a little more serious as we continued on. So
walk me through the process of the courtship to you all getting married, Teresa.
That's a fun one.
I used to say we spent so much time together. It was a natural evolution. So, yeah, we're spending lots of time together, and we just kind of our affection for each other and our commitment and our vibe continued to grow. And so we just kind of made it official. I actually was not really interested in getting married.
No,
I really wasn't actually interested in getting married. I was fine being the cool woman and
independent woman. You like being independent. You're still very independent.
We had actually went in together and bought a home in East Nashville, and we were East Nashville before East Nashville was cool. And one day I had to go down to the Howard School to pick up new tags for our vehicle.
Well, she wanted to do that errand during lunchtime, and I just went with her, and we were going to do lunch.
I'm telling the story.
Oh, you tell the story. Go ahead. I'll shut up now.
So we went down there to the building, got the tags, and I have got the tags and the license plates, and I am walking out the building, and I noticed that Cameron is not with me. So I'm looking around, where is he? And he's over there by the sign that says marriage license. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? So I walk over to him and I'm like, what's going on? He's like, I think we should do this. And I'm like, what? Get married?
Yeah. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
So anyway, I forget the exact how much it was.
It was like $27 and $30. You went in there and I asked how much. He said, oh, it's got to be cash. You know, it's like, okay. looked in my wallet and my pockets, and she looked in hers, and we put our money together. It was the exact amount of change in dollars, 27 something, they needed for a marriage license.
Down to the very penny between down the two of us.
That's like all we had.
It sounds like a sign to me.
So yeah, it was a sign. So we got the marriage license, and then my best friend Shannon and I planned a wedding in 2 weeks. We got married at our home in East Nashville. We had some friends from the station and family come over, and we had a nice little wedding, and everyone had cake and went home, and we stayed put.
And you stayed put.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was no honeymoon, and we were already there in the honeymoon. We loved our house. That was a great house.
Yeah. People talk about opposites attracting, and in this case, it has. You know, how do you both balance each other? I'd love to hear from both of you on that.
You first.
Me first. He has gotten much better. He has gotten much better over the years about being a little bit more outgoing and talkative. But there's been times that I've had to pull him into the social situation where he would have been a wallflower sitting in the corner.
I've done that many times. But you've never met a stranger. You will talk to anybody in line at the grocery store. I've gotten a lot better. Mm-hmm. Last few years, I've tried to listen and be involved, and I'll reach out and talk to people. But I'm never going to be that person like she is.
But the good thing is while I am more apt to act, he will step back and assess the situation. He'll think of extra questions to ask. He will look at the whole picture from all different angles, and that's a trait that I hope that I have picked up from him to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm. I'm a detailed person. It has to be my job.
So. Would you both agree that being together for so long in this intimate relationship has given you both ability to kind of anticipate each other's needs without having to say anything?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yes. She can be on the other side of the country, and sometimes I feel like we're connecting literally over space and time. I mean, sometimes we've literally thought of calling each other at the very same time, and it depends on who's dialed first, but I mean, within seconds of each other, it's like, I was just going to call you. Mm. That happens a lot. I think we do connect at very deep fundamental levels that most people don't, or they forget how to. I always try to remember how to connect to her, and more so to other people and anymore, because she's taught me a lot of that. I'm trying to be outgoing, and she's been my mentor on that.
That's really beautiful. You know, conflict happens in relationships. How have you both navigated the troubles that happen that are natural within relationships?
Well, since we are so different, we do kind of handle that differently. He likes to go hide and think about things and come back later with a solution. I want to talk it out right then and there. So
drives me nuts.
So over the years, I've learned to give him his space for a little bit and then come back around and circle. I think the secret for our conflict resolution is that we've always been able to talk. Mm-hmm. We can talk it out. No one's really pointing fingers. We don't really say, you said, she said, they said, he said. We kind of keep it, you know, this is how I was acting. This is why I had this opinion or this thought or this action. And we can kind of take it from there and kind of come to a nice resolution. We don't always agree at the end. We will still have our disagreements, and we will still pick on each other sometimes because of those disagreements. But I think we've done a pretty good job.
When we've had these rather intense disagreements sometimes, once we've kind of resolved it, and sometimes it's kind of like you just kind of ignore it and say, okay, not going to do it your way, not going to do it my way. We're just kind of hit in the middle. Maybe there's a little compromise, but whatever. And some days later, you know, after we finally got it out of our system, it's like, yeah, remember the other day? Yeah, that was pretty stupid. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. we pick at each other. We'll make fun on it, make a joke about whatever we were disagreeing on. It's like, yeah, that was a pretty stupid reason to disagree. So,
and we've had our share of disagreements and trials, just like any two people that live together would. We've moved a couple of times. We've had a child. We've had other things come up, bought houses, sold houses, you know, all the things that goes into life and disagreements.
If you're just tuning in, this is Nashville, and I'm your host, Khalil A. Colonna. We're talking this hour about long-term love and relationships. My guests are Teresa Birdsong and Cameron Atkins. Okay, you both did have a child. What happened in your relationship that made you have a child, because you all became parents a little bit later on in life, right?
That's true.
We thought about it, didn't think we were ready for it. And I'm not sure exactly where it evolved. I know it had something to do with the fact that I had a heart attack.
Okay.
I was 40 years old. Thank goodness it wasn't, you know, terminal at the time, but it scared us both. And we talked about it, and I quite frankly was afraid that if this got any worse, she'd be alone. And I didn't want that to happen. And I wanted some piece of me to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we collectively made that agreement that's like, okay, if we're going to do it, now's the time.
We were very lucky that it happened quickly and mm-hmm. everything was great. And we have a wonderful, wonderful son. And life marches on.
Yeah. Answer this for me. What do you do together that you truly, truly enjoy?
You know, one of the things that we've done, and we've done this since he came back to fix my stereo all those years ago, is just listen to music.
Mm.
We will put on music, we'll put on videos on TV, and just enjoy listening to an album or watching the videos, talking about the players. We were dancing around to Cool in the Gang this morning in the living room, so yeah.
Well done.
I think it's good to say that we are satisfied with each other's company.
Mm-hmm. That's simple and wise right there. It says it all. Okay, now I hear you guys have something called the No Fix Fridays.
Friday is always the day that we are not going to prepare anything at home food-wise. We're going to go out somewhere, or I'm going to bring it in for sure. And we just call it No Fix Friday because we're not going to fix anything. We're just going to enjoy each other's company, or call it a little mini date if possible.
That sounds like really cool. All right, final question for you. What can you share with any couple who truly wants to make their relationship last? It's the first thing that comes to each of your minds.
I think the thing we've hit on several times, it's communication. If you don't talk, you will eventually fail, because there's no two people the same. You're going to have differences. You're not going to see the world the same way in every situation. If you don't talk it out and at least let the other one know your position and understand, and also be willing to compromise on that when you don't fully really get what the other one's thinking or understand. But the point is, you love each other enough that you're willing to make that compromise, and you're willing to listen, and you're willing to tell them what you feel without fear of retribution. I mean, that takes a lot of it. You have to be afraid not to talk. The silence will kill you.
I think you have to understand that life is a journey and that you're continuing to grow throughout your entire life. I am a completely different person now than when we first met, and he is too. But we've been able to grow, change, morph together. And he's given me my space to do what I need to do to learn and grow. I give him his space to learn and grow, but we always were able to bring it back together and pull it together and stay together and be together.
Yeah, I know we've changed, but I don't really recognize the change. It doesn't hit me that we've changed. It's just we've melded. As I've said at least more than once, that the two of us are individuals, but we make one very special spiritual entity that is inseparable.
Mm.
We are better as one than we are as two.
That's beautiful. Cameron Atkins and Teresa Birdsong have known each other for nearly 40 years and have been married for 34 of them. Thank you both for being here and sharing your wisdom. This is beautiful. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Glad to be here. I'll still be here tomorrow.
And thanks to you for tuning in this hour. This is Nashville is a production of Nashville Public Radio. Today's episode was produced by Catherine Cecis and Magnolia McKay. It was also directed by Catherine Cecis. Our board operators, Liv Lombardi. The masterminds behind our theme music are LaRange and Namir Blade. You can listen back at thisisnashville.org or wherever you get your podcasts. And the conversation doesn't end here. Tweet us at This Is Nashville. Find us on Instagram and tell us what you want from our show by filling out our quick survey online. This is Nashville. I'm Khalil Ekalon. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody, and be good to each other.
You're listening to This is Nashville here on 90.3 WPLN News during our spring fun drive. And that last segment you heard featured Cameron Atkins, our chief engineer. He's such a beloved member of the WPLN newsroom, and he makes so much of what you hear on the radio possible. Kind of like you. Hi, I'm Mariana Baca-Yao in the studio with Rachel Iacovone, here to remind you that all of the award-winning stories, all of the heartwarming or thought-provoking questions you hear on This is Nashville, all of the latest, up-to-date, hot-off-the-presses info you hear on WPLN newscasts wouldn't be possible without your support. It also wouldn't have direction without you, since so much of our reporting is about you, what you want to know, what you're curious about, and what you're noticing around your neighborhood. You support that work, you guide it, you make it all possible when you give at WPLN.org.
This drive, we're asking 1,000 of you to come alongside us to support the usual public radio programming like Morning Edition and All Things Considered on a local level. Plus, This is Nashville, the Nash Villager newsletter and new podcast. All of the things that give WPLN that special sparkle. Brought to you, for you, by you. Join with the 200 or so folks who have already given this first day of our spring fun drive at WPLN.org. Click that Give Now button. It'll take you less than 2 minutes start to finish. And when you give, leave us a comment like this one we just got from Janie, which is so thoughtful. Janie in Spring Hill says, I support Nashville Public Radio every day. It is my go-to news source for developing events, human interest stories, and engaging programs on a wide variety of topics. It has an ever-changing kaleidoscope of riveting topics, no matter what time of day or night listeners tune in. I couldn't have said that better myself. Thank you so much, Janie, for giving. Janie also got one of the This is Nashville totes. You can also get your hands on that for $10 a month when you give. And again, leave us a note. We love to read it on air at WPLN.org. You can make your donation now.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be in the room for some of these conversations on This is Nashville? Well, when you give at the $25 a month level, you can be one of a select few invited into the station to watch live as the This is Nashville team makes the magic happen, followed by a lunch and Q&A with the big man himself. If you have any burning questions for Khalil, if you want to see him in his element, now's your chance. We only have so many slots. It's a first-come, first-served basis. Secure your spot in that lunch when you give online at WPLN.org or give us a call 615-760-2010. That donation is going to make that this local journalism possible. It's going to keep this message coming to you on your favorite radio station here at 90.3 WPLN News. Thank you.